Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder, what would you think if you were watching a football game and the players started tackling their own teammates? Like the ball is snapped, the center immediately turns and lays out the quarterback. How about a basketball game where the players are shooting at the other team's basket? Have you ever seen that? How about soldiers shooting at soldiers who are on their own side? Christians fighting with Christians. When we last left Jesus last week, he had just been called out by the Pharisees. Remember, he was allowing his homes to pluck grain from a field. Civil law did permit gleaning of other people's grain and fruit, but there were limits. From Deuteronomy 23, you could only eat your fill. You couldn't take any home. And you couldn't harvest your neighbor's field and take it down to the river. But gleaning was not the problem. The Pharisees called him out because he was allowing his people to glean on the Sabbath. They saw that as work, which was forbidden on Saturday. And you remember what Jesus did in response? He quoted the Bible. Quoted the Bible, pointing out that Abiathar the priest had broken ceremonial law by allowing David and his men to eat the showbread, which was not supposed to be eaten by laymen, which David was. And he ends up pointing out that Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And then finally he pointed out that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He was the Lord of that sixth day, the seventh day. I created the Sabbath, and I'm the one who says what is and is not permitted on the Sabbath. And clearly he thought that it was okay for those Christians to glean on Saturday, and that, it would seem, was that. But those same Pharisees saw a man, the man's hand did not work, and hands are important. And they were watching that man, and they saw him go into the synagogue, and then they watched Jesus, who was there. What's he going to do? What's Jesus going to do? Jesus went into the building Saturday. He's going to church. That's what he does. And they watched him to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath. And then a purpose clause, so that they could accuse him. So that they could accuse him. Have you heard that saying, watching him like a hawk? The hawk is watching, looking to attack. And those Pharisees were looking to wrest the offensive back from Jesus. And he, of course, okay, he obliges, called the man over. And he turned it on them. He said to the Pharisees, he asked them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent. They knew the answer, but they were silent. They didn't like the answer, but they were silent. Jesus did not pick this fight. They started it, objecting to those Christians working on the Sabbath. And his response to their objection was as noted to quote the Bible, the Old Testament, and they could not argue with that. And they did not argue with that. David did. In fact, it's in the Bible, eat the showbread. And then Jesus entered the synagogue. They followed him. And they wanted a piece of him still, and they got their wish. They find themselves holding on to the tiger's tail. That happens a lot with Jesus and his opponents, they want to duke it out theologically with Jesus, but using words, the word, Jesus backs them into a corner again here. Yeah, they know the answer to the question. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, on Saturday. If your ox falls into the pit on Saturday, go and fetch it out. Duh. Friend of mine, he was the vicar. This was in Kansas, and the DCE at another church did not see eye to eye with him, and they talked. That's what we do. We talk. The DCE did not like my friend, the vicar. Probably it wasn't what he said, but the way he said it always is. So the vicar said, let's sit down and talk about this, and she agreed to meet, but only if you don't bring your Bible. You can't bring your Bible. Because I know you, you'll just go quoting the Bible in our meeting. The Pharisees, so we tried talking to the guy. That was a disaster. Egg all over our faces. What's plan B? We tried talking to him. What's plan B? They had a meeting. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Pharisees against him. How to, in Greek it's the same word, kill, destroy. Decided how to kill or destroy Jesus. And for his part, after that encounter, Jesus went on a healing spree. A healing spree, hither and wrong and yon, preaching as he went. You think he healed on the Sabbath day? Then he chose those 12 men. And why do you think he chose those 12 men, those apostles? Why do you think he chose them? What for? What's he supposed to do? Well, that's what you think, and you're right. But I wonder what the people like back then thought. Powerful men had just decided to harm Jesus. So Jesus selected these able young men. And we know that Peter, for one, knew his way around the sword. It's what a Messiah would do. Raise an army. And he had 70 more. That's what they likely thought was going on. But you know better. And the ESV says, then he went home. Then he went home. Actually, it says he went to a house. I don't know if it was his house or not, probably not. He went to a house, I think, to chill. And there comes a gathering. People come to the house. And it gets pretty crowded. Ever been to a party that's so crowded you can hardly make it to the food? That's annoying. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. And this crowd that's following Jesus around, did they seek the word? Or did they seek healing? Or did they seek food? Yeah, I think so. Jesus was, as you know, a very popular guy. And we observe with Jesus and in life that popularity has a shelf life. It begins in high school. I mean junior high. Actually, I mean grade school. The popular kid. It's not long before you get pushback. Now, you know, he's not so great. He's not so great. Everybody says he's great. I don't even like him. Let's beat him up. That's what the boys do. That's where it starts. And where does it end? I think he might be a little bit off, you know? You know what I'm saying? And when his family heard it, heard what? When his family heard it, they went out to seize him because people were saying he is beside himself. His family was not saying it. People were saying it about Jesus. When we confess in the first article that God has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, all my members, my reason, that's this wonderful human brain, and all our senses, we're confessing that we do in fact see things. We hear things. We smell things, touch, taste things, perception and that, and this brain processes that information. When we talk about my reason, thinking logically, it's one more thing that makes us different, not in quantity, but in quality from the animals. They don't use logic. The brain. You know, the brain's pretty important. Arguably the most important thing in the body, certainly the new nerve center of the body. The neurologist says that the brain is very important, but the least understood. The least understood. When people said of Jesus that he is beside himself, out of his mind, mad, mental illness is not a new thing. It's been around for a long time. Original sin broke creation, including broken people, including broken brains. And you have heard here that the Christians started the first hospital shortly after Constantine. Al Schmidt says in the year 369, first hospital was built by St. Cyril in Caesarea in Cappadocia. Now, if you look around at hospitals today, go to Davenport, and you see St. Luke Hospital, Mercy Hospital, in Clinton, Mercy Hospital, Rock Island Franciscan Hospital, Lutheran in Moline. They're not that anymore. The names have been changed. In 2001, 23 years ago, Dr. Schmidt said, quote, "The Christian identity and background of many American hospitals is now being erased. Their Christian names are being replaced. Thus, people, at least in America, will soon have no more symbolic reminders that the hospital in their town or city had Christian origins." So it became Trinity. It's still Christian, but a lot of people talk about Trinity. Trinity Unity Point. Then Unity Point Trinity. Now I think it's just Unity Point when there's nothing Christian to that. And even before the first hospitals, the Christians, Dr. Schmidt says, took charge of lunatics at a very early period and gathered them together in a house specially assigned for that purpose. And we note that it was the church, not the state, who always took care of the sick, the poor, the widows, the orphans. We took care of education and the mentally ill. And these days you may have noticed that we've been edged out or maybe abandoned those roles. Who does those things these days? When we were up in Michigan, we visited a former state mental hospital near Traverse City. It's been repurposed to senior living with shops, of course. And those former state hospitals at Mount Pleasant and East Moline have likewise been repurposed. And when man's thought became enlightened, we started to throw Christian care out of the hospitals, out of the nursing homes, out of hospice, almost in some cases dehumanizing the humans. And the psych ward, that wasn't a Christian thing. The psych ward, and then one floor over the cuckoo's nest. And then trust the science. Trust the science. I think it was like in the 80s, the science said, we have the drugs. We can fix this with drugs. Let them roam free. We have the drugs. I think the current word is unhoused. Unhoused. Trust the science. At least they stopped removing chunks of people's brains to fix them. good read, Rosemary, the hidden Kennedy. That's what happened to her. On the other hand, I know Christians who care for their mentally ill family members, like their family, like their people, like their, you know, human. And let me say as well, I have seen compassion from Christians all the time, in all vocations, including hospitals, nursing homes, and the like. We're still out there. And you know, the plea, not guilty by reason of insanity, not guilty by reason of insanity, was also a Christian invention. The realization that people can, in fact, be beside themselves and do bad things. And nursing. Florence Nightingale was a Christian. The Red Cross. Where'd they get that name, Red Cross? Well, that name is changing too, and you can see that on the internet. And we all learn about compassion from Jesus, who healed many, including a lot of people he healed who were off, a little bit off. And a lot of times there were demons involved, and yeah, the brain is a complicated thing. So people were saying, he is beside himself. He's a little bit nuts, you know? I wonder, who were those people who were saying that Jesus was nuts? It's one thing to decide to kill a man, which they already had done. The timing of it is another thing. We got to get the right time. And while we're waiting, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said he is possessed by Beelzebul, with an L on the end. Means Lord of the Flies, dung heap. St. Jerome and Queen render it Beelzebub with a B on the end. It's a god. But it says in the Bible, Beelzebub, Lord of the Flies, Lord of the Dung. What's the difference? Two peas in a pod? I tried talking to him. That did not work out for him. And the fact that he kept using his Bible, name-calling. Name-calling is also something we learn early on. I taught my students in logic class that you can tell when somebody's out of ideas because they start calling you names. Usually I post something on social media, that's the first thing, I get called a name. And here, they say he's a little bit nuts, and by the prince of demons, he casts out demons. And that's when he talks to them about how foolish it would be for athletes or soldiers to fight against their own side, and who's crazy now? In fact, far from being in league with Satan, he comes to fight against Satan. And they don't know that, but the demons sure do. And he says, no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods. Jesus is entering into Satan's domain, the world, unless he first binds the strong man, then indeed he may plunder his house. And that kind of goes two ways, doesn't it? Satan's trying to bind Jesus so he can plunder his house. And he proceeds to plunder the world, Jesus does, by means of preaching the word, drawing people from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. And after him, those 12 plus those 70 continue the plundering by the same word. And they wrote it down. And the plundering of Satan continues to this day. The plundering of Satan's kingdom continues. As people are drawn from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Mike Cooper here, for example. My sister died 2 years ago, August. She's buried at Zion Taylor Ridge, literally surrounded on three sides by cornfields, four sides the church. It's a nice neighborhood she's in. A lot of people I know are in her neighborhood out there. Lots of Mueller tombstones in that neighborhood. And the rest of them in that neighborhood are Mueller women who married, like my grandmother Anderson, And those Muellers used to be all over the place out there. Everybody knew Mueller. One time I think I was related to most of the students at Rock Ridge High School during high school. And going to Orion, Illinois, everybody knew a Catlett. Not so much now. And it doesn't take long. All it takes is for one generation to die without producing a male, or for that male to move away. And here at Emmanuel, if you look at family names from 100 years ago, or even 50 years ago, few, if any, are still here. And once that family name disappears, whether in Taylor Ridge or Grand Mound, no males, they die, moved away, that name isn't coming back. That name isn't coming back until somebody with that name moves into town. And that's the sin against the Holy Spirit. Once you lose it, it's not coming back. That's what makes it the unforgivable sin. There is no forgiveness anymore. The sin against the Holy Spirit is not an individual thing. So if you're wondering if you've committed it, like I did when I was a kid, it's not an individual thing. It's a group activity. The Holy Spirit comes by means of word and sacrament, and only by those means of grace. Like to Cooper, for example. The word and sacrament, that is the Holy Spirit, is found in the church, and the group decides. The group, the congregation, the church body, the nation, decides to pass down the Holy Spirit, the word and sacraments, or not. But once one generation passes on passing it on, it's not coming back, and there's no forgiveness. That one guy, he's been gone for quite a while. He used to be at that one church in the next town over. He was not Missouri Synod Lutheran. Before he left, he told them what a great job he had done during his time there. I'm not going to do that. But he did say as well, he will no longer talk to homophobes. I said, he's talking about me. He's talking about me. Because I'm against homosexual activity, I believe it to be a sin. So you ask, why don't I just go over and straighten that guy out? Maybe you can quote your Bible. How does that work out for you when you try to straighten him out? Then you pull out your Bible. Katie, bar the door. The name calling is about to begin. Until the missionaries with word and sacrament come, and the church, the Holy Spirit, comes to that place and brings life. So these religious leaders in the text, 2,000 years ago, they rejected Messiah. They rejected church. They rejected the Holy Spirit. 3 years ago, our congregation celebrated our 150th anniversary. That makes us 153 years at Emmanuel, 153 years old. And a lot of things have changed over those 153 years. The building, the location, Buena Vista moved into town, as you know. New hymnals, different people, different pastors. A lot has changed around here in the last few years. You chose to get the young guy, you're going to get that. What has remained consistent? Look at those photos down on the wall. I think I'm the 11th photo on the wall. The constant has been the word and sacrament administered by faithful pastors. The word and sacrament is the constant. And because of that, we are alive. This church is alive. We have the Holy Spirit. Another new life this morning. Another one headed for heaven. Heaven. brains, bodies, illnesses of all kinds. There's a lot of brokenness out there. Relationships, heaven, all those things that are broken will be fixed. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.